In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as Father James will tell you, and as any preacher will tell you, that as a preacher, one of the cardinal rules of preparing a homily is to make sure that Christ is at the center of what you're about to preach. Now, it seems rather simple when you say it this way, but you'd be surprised at how often Christ is overlooked or understated in our postmodern preaching arena. Now, I distinctly remember my first homiletics course at Holy Trinity Theological College and Seminary many years ago, when all of us seminarians had to individually prepare and preach a 20-minute sermon in front of the rest of the students. And so for many of us, this was our first time preaching, let alone going up to preach for 20 minutes. But there we were. And so we prepared the best that we could. And I'll never forget one student, whose name will remain anonymous, got up and preached for the 20-minute time frame. And when he had finished, our professor had thanked him for the sermon, but politely reminded him of something. That not once during the entirety of his sermon did he mention the name Jesus Christ. Now, I know it wasn't his intention to omit Christ, but nonetheless, it happened. And from that moment on, all of his students learned a very valuable lesson: to never take Christ for granted when preaching the gospel. For he is the gospel. And without him, the words that we preach are meaningless and ultimately inconsequential. And while some scripture lessons make it perhaps more intellectually and spiritually challenging than others to preach from, you can find Christ in every snippet of scripture. But today, there really is no challenge. It's quite obvious to see the person of Jesus Christ in the hospitality of the Good Samaritan, extending a hand to the man who had fallen upon thieves and was left for dead, and nursing the wounds that the priest and the Levite neglected. We can clearly see the compassion and love of Christ shown to that man by the efforts of the Good Samaritan. But I want to tell you something else that should be obvious. In this gospel passage is the whole of Jesus' earthly ministry summarized. Perhaps his disciples didn't realize it at the time, but in this story, Jesus is describing himself in his earthly ministry. The man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, representative of fallen man. The robbers, symbolic of the devil and his angels that seek to hurt and strip mankind of their dignity, having been made in the image and likeness of their Creator. The priest and the Levite denote the priests and Levites of the Old Testament, who could not help the man because they had no power to heal or cure. And finally, when all had seemed lost, when the man had been left to die, along comes the Good Samaritan, who is Jesus Christ, to save what was thought to be dead, a race that was thought to have been unsavable. And once he had nursed the man's wounds and tended to him, what did the Samaritan do? What did he do? Do you remember? He picked him up, put him on his beast, and took him to an inn. An inn symbolic of Christ's holy church. And as he departs the inn, representative of his holy death and glorious resurrection, leaving the man to the innkeeper, the church, the Good Samaritan promises upon his return to repay the man in full. This, my friends, is to be understood as Christ's return in great glory, where he will repay his followers with the gift of life eternal. And so there it is. The whole of Christ's ministry, neatly packed into this morning's gospel. Now, did you know that the Hebrew meaning for the word Samaritan is guardian? Guardian. And when you think about it in this way, it all begins to make sense, doesn't it? The story of the Good Samaritan takes on an even higher meaning. And I think we can now substitute the term Good Samaritan with the Good Shepherd. After all, does not a shepherd guard and watch over his flock? And when something happens to one of his sheep, when it goes astray, when it falls upon hard times, does not the Good Shepherd go after that one sheep, find it, care for it, and take it home to safety? As St. Peter says in his epistle, you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And while the Good Shepherd watches and guards his sheep, he also lays down his life for his sheep. And I want to emphasize this phrase, lays down his life. No one took it from him. No one defeated him because he laid down his life willingly. Christ, our guardian, still remains undefeated, and nothing can prevail over him and those whom he protects. This past Friday, we learned of the sudden and tragic passing of the actor Chadwick Boseman at the age of 43, who died following a four-year battle with colon cancer. And while he played the role of Jackie Robinson in the movie 42 and a young Thurgood Marshall in 2017 in a film entitled Marshall, perhaps his leap to global stardom happened when he became cast as Prince T'Challa in the movie The Black Panther in the Marvel movies. Now, Chadwick was a Christian, and he recalls having prayed fervently to be cast in the role of the Black Panther before it was granted to him. But here is a man who had become larger than life to many, many children and young adults across the globe for that performance as Black Panther. And he was not only king of the country of Wakanda, but also he was their guardian and protector. He not only protected them physically, but protected the truth of who they were and what they stood for. Through this role, he was able to galvanize and unite so many children to himself. And I'll never forget an interview that he gave a couple years ago regarding his role as Black Panther. And the remarkable thing that he said was that not only did African-American children want to be Black Panther, but white children and Asian children did as well. You see, he was able to take a distinctly cultural role and transform it into a global phenomenon. That's a special talent. And he was a special person. Although he battled colon cancer for 4 years, being diagnosed with stage 3 back in 2016, he still filmed many movies, at least 7. And that wasn't his greatest accomplishment. You know what his greatest accomplishment was? He went and visited the sick children in hospitals every chance that he could, even though he himself was facing the mortality of his own death. He made it his mission to go and be hope, a meaning of hope to those children. You see, he understood that above all other movies that he had produced or done, that this was the role that was the most important, to be there for so many, because to those children, he was their guardian and protector. And I share this story with you because he embodied what it meant to be the Good Samaritan. After all, we are called to follow in the footsteps of our Lord and be that Good Samaritan, that guardian to the many people in our lives. As the fifth chapter of Ephesians says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Being and embodying the attitude of the Good Samaritan is not a switch that we can turn on and off. Either we are or we aren't. It's a lifestyle, because our Christian faith is a way of life. It's a way of living. Being the Good Samaritan is our way of life. May we not shrink from this calling, but embrace it and manifest it to others. That means doing so not just when we feel good or when we feel like we are at our best, but when we are less than our best. Because even when we feel at our worst, our neighbor still deserves our best. And when we do that, when we care for one another at all times and in all things, we are the Good Samaritan. May Christ be praised. May the keeper and guardian of our souls be ever present with us and give us the strength to care for and protect one another through the power of his holy gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.